Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is Wales.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo 64, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. Like the name implies, we're going to talk about Nintendo 64 games as they came out sort of semi-chronologically, so 21 years ago, so we are up to July of 1999. But we're not only talking about games, we're going to, you know, set the mood. We're going to paint a picture of what July of 1999 was like. And guys, what a time to be alive.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're going to do a little time travel here.
What an amazing month.
Relive July of the highs and lows of the glorious month.
And actually, before we dive right into it, I should mention that I'm actually going to do two different posts of this podcast, so I'm going to need to like lead into the other one, because we had a request from our buddy Jason, who is a frequent listener, downloads all the episodes.
Him
and Mossy, those are the two. He expressed a lack of interest in hearing about anything except the games. He just wants to like skip to the parts with games in them. So because I like doing the timeline, it's fun for me. We're gonna do this. Oh, and then I'm gonna take the whole show and I'm gonna chop it up to where it's just games and repost it, calling it the Jason cut.
Okay. I like this. This is like that Snyder cut that they've been talking about for Justice League, where every time they bring it up, they're adding on like 15 more minutes. Like he's actively shooting footage right now to add more to it or some shit.
Wouldn't it be less work just to add timestamps?
Yeah, but then I wouldn't get to tell a joke.
The things you do for humor.
A joke for a person.
All it sounds like to me is that John's given up the reins of running the show, and then this guy Jason is swooping in, taking stock options out of this as well.
We're gonna bring him on, and we're gonna credit him as an executive producer.
Get all that Amazon money from us, you know? Come on, guys.
That goes directly into a slush fund.
Yeah.
All right, so let's I forget what I was going to say before Wes started talking.
Probably wasn't important.
Clearly was unimportant.
Yeah. I have the notes in front of me, so I guess some stuff comes up. I realize now, we have not talked about video games at all.
No, and actually this is a good place to transition to video games.
This is going
to
be an easy cut. I thought you were going to be like, we're going to cut these into different things, and it's like, you're going to cut this into two episodes.
Right, this is the Nintendo Show 64, and we're sitting here an hour in and haven't said anything about video games.
No, we have been going for an hour, except you, Jason. You are just joining us. Because like this is a real strange time for video games, because you know, like the PS2 is still current. The Saturn is long buried. The Dreamcast is going to be launching within a few months, chronologically speaking. And
oh, Crazy Taxi?
Yeah, Crazy Taxi will be one of the launch games. We'll talk about the Dreamcast.
Marvel's Capcom 2?
That's such a good game.
No, it is not. Why do people fucking love Crazy Taxi so much?
I enjoyed Crazy Taxi.
I'm going to die on that hill. We're going to fight about this game.
Wasn't there a roller Jet Set Radio? Is that one of theirs?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a launch game. But
any rate,
what ends up happening like right now is the PS1 has this like huge, amazing backlog of games. But as I'm like looking around like 1999 and 2000, the PS1 has a handful of significant releases left. But if you look at the library of what's coming out on the N64 from like January of 1999 until like December of 2000, I think you put them head to head and the N64 like has a more robust library, which is like the inverse of what had been happening to this point, because the PS1 had so many games. Like at this point, there's not, and I might eat these words on a later podcast, but there's not a whole lot coming out on other systems at this point. It's like the N64 is kind of like carrying the water for the video game industry. And like one of the things that comes out of that in particular is there's a developer, the developer of Mario Golf, actually, Camelot Software, who worked very closely with Sega to this point. They were actually originally named after Sonic the Hedgehog. I think it was like Sega Software, or no, Sonic Software Planning, something like that. And they developed the Shining Force games, a series of strategy RPGs for the Sega systems exclusively. They did a PS1 game called Beyond the Beyond, which is highly regarded as garbage. And what ends up happening is they're developing the games Shining Force 3 on Sega Saturn, and Sega takes a hard left turn, shifts focus entirely onto the Dreamcast because the Saturn isn't doing well, and they kind of left Camelot in the dust. So Camelot ends up signing a exclusivity deal with Nintendo, and they go on to make games like Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, the Golden Sun games for Game Boy and DS, and they still make like Mario sports games, golf and tennis, to this day for Nintendo system. They did Mario Tennis Aces on Switch, and they still
but not Golden Suns.
They know they have not done any more Golden Suns, and it has almost been 10 years, which is sad.
Oh, those jerks.
There's this weird thing happening where Golden Sun Dark Dawn has gotten discussed or brought up in passing on three or four different podcasts that I listen to that talk about video games, and nobody likes it. And they're all wrong. I liked that game. I don't care what anybody says. So
yeah, they fuck them, man. They suck.
Yeah, yeah, fuck all those other podcasts. We're the only ones you should listen to.
Well, we are the best.
Well, we sure are. So the we say it at the beginning. It makes it true.
Yeah, exactly.
What ends up happening? Like, I don't know how long ago we talked about Shining Force 3, but when Shining Force 3 came to North America, it was like such a project that was strapped for resources. They ended up chopping it up and releasing it piecemeal, and I don't think it ever got like completed in coming out in North America. So after that, like, Camelot was like, no, we're done with Sega. That's a sinking ship. Let's move over to, and then try to work it out to, you know, working with Nintendo as an exclusive second party developer. One thing about Camelot that I should mention, though, Waluigi is entirely their fault. They came up with that character because Wario needed a tennis partner. And actually, it was something where, like, Nintendo needed, like, an inverse character for Luigi. Like, they had Wario for Mario. So they just kind of, like, took the easiest route possible. I was like, it's just Waluigi. Deal with it. But yeah, so I have not played Mario Golf. Wes, you have played this game, though.
I have indeed played this game. I owned this game.
Do you still own this game?
I have no idea if I still own this game. If I do, it would be on some random box somewhere in my house. I have no idea.
Mm. You treat your game collections with no reverence, do you?
I don't. I my PlayStation and my Switch, I do.
No, I've seen your Switch activity. You haven't, like, signed in like 10 days.
I have not.
Are you still playing World of Warcraft?
But I do have a good collection. Yeah, it's a lot of World of Warcraft. It's just sucking up my life, and I hating every second of it.
So
I'm ashamed of myself.
Wait, wasn't there a story about Warcraft that was supposed to embarrass Wes?
No, that's Gauntlet.
No, it's about Gauntlet.
That's Gauntlet.
Oh, no, we're not going to forget. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next month, and we're not going to forget. You're going to tell the story, Wes.
Oh, that's next month? Okay, yeah. I got time.
It has now been built up way too much.
I mean, I don't even know if it's that good of a story, but yeah, it is an embarrassing story.
That makes it great.
Yeah. All
right.
So what,
Mario Golf is a game.
Yeah. What's your first memory of playing it? Do you remember how you got it?
I don't remember getting it, but my first memory of playing it, I was actually in Colorado.
Did you steal this game?
I did not steal this game.
But you don't remember how you got it.
I have no idea how I got it. I was a kid. I don't remember this stuff.
I think you took it from someone.
I probably did.
Okay.
But I was visiting, essentially, my grandmother. She wasn't actually my grandmother. She was,
Is this a lady who touched you?
My grandfather's love interest. I don't know what to call Lottie, but,
I hope the embarrassing story involves her.
No.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, it was during Colorado, the trip up there, but it does not involve her, but it was during that time.
You're going to hear about all these adventures in Colorado. This is
during
good.
That time.
Oh, man.
No, we were
so, you got a video game on a road trip?
I don't know. I can't remember. I just remember playing it in Colorado with her grandson, who was around my age.
Oh, okay.
So we were playing that a lot. They had, like, this two-story house, a small story that does not involve... This is not the embarrassing story, but another funny story. I remember everybody being out but me and her grandson. I forget the guy's name. But I remember we he told us that they were, he told me that they were going to be painting the walls in the basement downstairs. And so he had these cans of spray paint. I was like, we should just paint stuff on the walls. And so we were just down there for like over an hour just spray paint gibberish all over the walls, just random pictures and things and stuff like that. And I remember Lottie came home and just tore into us. It's just, she came home and the first thing I heard was, I smell paint! And just fear just washed over me. I was like, oh God, what have you done? Like, just...
We're supposed to paint the neighbor's house, not this one.
So wait, and that's where she slept. She slept at, like, the downstairs, which was, like, a couple rooms away from where we just spray painted the crap out of the wall. And so it's just this paint fumes in her bedroom. Just...
Delightful.
But, no, we, I played Mario Golf. It's a great game. Well, I remember it being great. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't remember any of the characters.
I mean, there's Mario and probably Luigi.
So it's in a way, it's progressive because women are allowed to golf, but it's not progressive because there are no black people.
Well, yeah, women weren't actually allowed to golf until 2004, so they were way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you know, it's them big titties they got. It's really difficult to swing a golf club when you got them big hoots.
Yeah, you got going off like the Amazons.
I don't remember who it was. There was a golf commentator, former golf, like, I'm sure he was like a historically great golf player, that literally that was his justification for why women shouldn't play golf.
And
he, like,
God,
said it on air during a golf, like, broadcast.
Oh,
and
no.
Got ostracized for it. Rightly so.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
You can get away with that on a Nintendo podcast, but if you're doing that, like, on a golf broadcast, then, you know, you're out of a job.
Yep. Well, at least we hope we can get away with it. The show isn't aired yet, so we don't know how it's going to
go. Oh, we're getting away with it. So,
no, I remember the game had some... It was tough. Like, it actually was a pretty tricky little golf game. You can't just breeze through it. It had the different strength mirrors and stuff, and it had the different clubs and everything. I mean, I feel like this game set up golf games that we know today.
and you know, like there is, like, something to say about, like, I think golf lends itself really well to a video game format. In that, like, the way that you can, like, just tweak things and get, like, really specific with the way you want to hit something, like, and how strong and which club, and if you want to, like, apply any sort of, like, backspin or where on the ball you want to hit it. And you see that sort of thing, like, in later golf games. And, you know, that sort of thing, like, might be part of, like, golf simulation, like the Tiger Woods series. But it is interesting that like the sort of, like, golf format that continues on is the more, like, video game style of it, like the zany stuff, because you don't really get releases of, like, PGA Tour golf games every year anymore.
Not every year, but you do still get them.
I mean,
I know... Oh, God.
No, go ahead, Wes. What's up?
My brother-in-law plays them. I had to pick one up for Christmas one year for him as a gift. But yeah, those PGA golf games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still around.
I mean, maybe...
there is a thing about literally Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger Woods is genuinely bigger than the sport of golf itself.
Yeah.
That, you know... Like, it was noted, you know, because Tiger Woods had a pretty bad slump about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go through a bunch of back surgeries, and he adjusted his swing to complement his new play style. And it took a while. There were some growing pains there, and he was not very good for a while. And viewership on golf on TV dropped dramatically because he wasn't in tournaments. They said that clubhouse money, like literally people just going to clubhouses, was down. People going to play rounds of golf was down. Purchasing of golf equipment was down. And what about maybe 3 years ago, he kind of regained his focus and kind of got back into it and sort of is now kind of back at an elite level. And all of that stuff is now up. Sales are up. I mean, well, we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. I mean, I think this is data that we could talk about ending in 2019, right? Mm. But, like, he reinvigorated interest in golf again. So, like, his golf series is, like, a big deal. I mean, you know, we think of Madden iconically, but it's sort of like Madden will be successful no matter how the – if there is a big star in the sport or not. But,
yeah.
Yeah, Tiger Woods is bigger than the sport of golf itself at this point. So,
although I will say, like, of all the things you could be doing right now during a pandemic, golf, playing golf outside, probably one of the safer things you can do.
Totally, absolutely.
Like, now's the time to get into this sport.
Oh yeah.
Like Mario Golf has a long-running legacy. It had sequels on GBA. The GBA one's very highly regarded because it brings in a lot of, like, almost like RPG, like, storytelling and character progression elements to it. GameCube got a sequel, and I'm going from memory here. I think there might have been one on the Wii, but now I'm not 100% sure.
There's going to be one on the Switch now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be cool.
Oh, there's Wii Golf. Wii Sports Golf.
Yeah, there's the Wii Sports Golf.
Because actually, there's some that guy Summoning Salts that does historic breakdowns of speedruns talks about it.
Oh, yeah?
And it's interesting because, like, it's not about fewest strokes, which is kind of counterintuitive. You would mm-hmm. think fewest strokes, fewest frames wins the thing. But the better your shot is, if you were to have a nice chip in birdie hole in one, or like a hole in one or something, they would do this long elongated cut scene. So you never really wanted to. You always wanted to have a good shot, but you never wanted to have a truly great shot because it would go to the cut scene and you couldn't skip it, and it would waste a ton of time. So there was always like the strategy of like chipping it up and close to the pin, but do not knock it in. You know.
Further evidence that all cut scenes should be skippable.
Yeah, hey. Maybe not such a bad idea. If we wanted to watch cutscenes, we'd watch a fucking movie.
But you see, like, the influence of this game, and also there was a Kirby golf game prior to this on the Super Nintendo that also, like, sort of embodies the zaniness that you can bring into a golf video game. But you see, like, something like Hot Shots Golf, which I think is still around, something like... Golf Story, and then Sports Story, which is still supposed to be coming out this year. You know, that Mario Golf did a lot to sort of popularize the more arcadey style of golf. Like, in a lot of ways, similar to what Mario Kart did for racing games. And yeah. I'm just going to do a quick fact check here to make sure I have the correct pricing for a cartridge. I think it's like $30 for a cart. And I don't think this one was ever re-released on a virtual console service. Yeah.
Nope, I think it only was on the N64.
Yep, $30 for a cartridge there on that there, Amazon. And I'm also just going to do a quick fact check on the virtual console thing, because I think you're right. I'm certain it was never released on the Wii U virtual console. Now I'm just looking to see if it was ever done on the Wii virtual console. And Google is not working with me. It keeps wanting to switch to Mario Party. And I don't care about Mario Party right now. I just want to know about Mario Golf.
So the feature film Deep Blue Sea came out.
Yeah, it sure did.
I'm just kidding.
But no. Hang on. Jason doesn't want to know about that. So we gotta stick around.
We gotta let him know when to stop listening.
Nope, never released on a virtual console. So you can only play this on the original hardware.
Wow.
Anyway. the only other game, really the only other noteworthy game that came out on any system... is on July 31st, the new Tetris. This one was developed by H2O Software, who doesn't really, like, it didn't really make anything of note. And, like, this game, I don't really...
Yeah, switch to triangles they did. That's a bold move.
this game, I really don't have too much to say about it, because, like, it's called the new Tetris, but it's pretty much Tetris. And, I mean, there's not much there to mine as in terms of content or discussion. It does have a few small little updates to it. Specifically, there is a 4-player head-to-head competitive, which is, of course, something that is very prevalent on the N64 in terms of, like you got your shooters, like your multiplayer stuff, your racers. With your 4-player head-to-head competitive. Nothing really as far as a puzzle game so far that we've talked about on the system. So I guess that's something that's a little bit interesting. And it's something like the N64 was kind of designed around having that sort of couch competitive or co-op sessions because of the four controller ports. But, you know, you're pretty much just working with your Tetris board. You have your same Tetris pieces that you've always had. Something that they did change up a little bit was you are able to form... basically, like, all of your Tetris pieces are four blocks, just a different arrangement of where those four little blocks are to make your different shapes.
Have you noticed the pattern of how a Tetris piece is constructed? You start with, like, an open grid and enter your first block. You can put a block where anything is touched, where anything that is adjacent to your original block. And then you can create a new block thereon two more times after that.
Okay.
And then that is what constructs your piece. So you can't just make a block and then make another block and then throw one on the very first block. You can only put a block next to the last one that was put down and the three available spaces adjacent to it.
Hmm.
And then that is how you simply construct every single Tetris piece. There is no way to make a piece that is not one of the standard Tetris pieces using that blueprint. And hence why you can make a straight line 4. 1, 1, 1, 1. Think about a box. 1, 1, 1, 1. Think about that weird zigzag one. 1, 1, 1, 1. There is the L shape. Boom, 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 boom. But you can't make any other shape that doesn't fit into that rubric.
Hmm. I wonder if that was like a something that came through like thoughtful design, or if they were like working with limitations of like their programming hardware or programming capacity that they had to build them that way. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's kind of interesting how they did that, but yeah. I don't know.
I like the idea of like coming up with these sort of things, working within like really strict limitations. It kind of shows like that sort of like design Cirque du Soleil that you have to do to work within like these really tough confinements to come up with something that works on a bunch of different levels. Okay, because yeah. Tetris is of course one of like the most long-lasting, identifiable video games, and it's such a simple concept. Like, you get these different blocks and they go from the top of the screen to the bottom of the screen, and all you have to do is make sure you always have space to put them, and from there you like to get a highly addictive just basic puzzle game from a simple design premise. So the one other thing that I wanted to mention about the new Tetris is that there is like a new wrinkle on the competitive play. So I was mentioning the sort of shape of the blocks that you can create and that fall the four blocks that create the different shapes. Basically, if you get the blocks and I think it's like a 6x6, you have to create a 6x6 square. That square of blocks that you've made without clearing anything out becomes either gold or silver. And from there, like, once you then eliminate the squares that you've turned gold or silver, it sends like extra detriment or like extra like blocks over to your opponent. So there's more strategy rather than just like clear as much as you can as quickly as you can. But yeah, the new Tetris, I just briefly mentioned like the thing that they changed. Other than that, I mean, it's Tetris. It is what you think it is. You're not really getting any surprises out of it. It has, of course, not been released on any virtual console services. Tetris.
It's like trying to review Coca-Cola.
Right. Like, it's the thing you compare everything else to.
My grandmother played Tetris, I remember. Like, for whatever reason, she got a Game Boy, because I had a Game Boy, and she's like, all right, this thing looks like whatever, fuck it. So she got one, too. And, like, she got really into Tetris. She would play that, and she would play this game called Quicks, which is about, like, blocking off stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a very fun game, as I recall, but, yeah. That's my Tetris thing. And Mahjong, of course, yeah. Mahjong is probably the greatest game ever made.
I mean, and Tetris is so accessible through like so many different platforms. You can probably just grab a Tetris or something like a facsimile thereof on your phone for $0. Like, there's no reason to own this thing. Like, $35 on Amazon for a cartridge of Tetris. So
yeah.
Unless you can get, you should. This is what you should do. You should play Tetris on your Switch. If you have a Switch online account, You can download Tetris 99, which is online, like, Tetris
released
Battle Royale.
1999.
Yeah, released on Switch in 1999. And you can play Tetris that way. Like, if you want to play competitive Tetris, that's the best way to do it. Not this anymore.
Like, here's the thing. The game ain't fucking stressful enough that I gotta try to put some competition into this. Mm. Like, I just want to try to, like, beat the game. I don't necessarily want to put my ineptitude at fucking Tetris up against 98 other people.
And then, you know, I do need to do a little bit more fact-checking on this, but I was watching someone else review the new Tetris, and they were, like, mentioning things that actually do sound like things that they brought into Tetris 99 on Switch. Things like when you're doing competitive, you can, like, choose the person that you're targeting to send, like, the blocks that you're clearing out over to their screen. And you can do, like, things like headhunting. Like, you can go after people who are very close to losing just to knock them out really quick. You can have, like, you can go after people who are playing well to try to, you know, have them performing as badly as you. And that's something that in Tetris 99 on Switch, you can, like, sort of, since there are so many other players, you kind of, like, choose what sort of strategy you're going to go with to, like, try to knock people out quickly or just, like, play defensively and go after people who, like, ranked really highly the last time. So it is interesting, like, that sort of element of picking your target is showing up in a game that came out 21 years earlier. But that's really all I have to say about the new Tetris. But we're not done talking about games yet, because we do have to address the rankings, which we have some time.
So we got some stuff to insert here.
We sure do. I sent you guys over the rankings. And just to give the listener a reminder, let's go. I'll read them off starting at... I'll start at number one, and we'll work our way down. So right now, number one...
Turok.
Number one, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, Star Fox 64, Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye. There's our top five. So 6 through 10, Doom 64, Blast Corps, Mario Kart 64, Diddy Kong Racing, Hexen. And then at number 11, Pilot Wings, then 1080 Snowboarding, Wave Race, Killer Instinct Gold, and Yoshi's Story. And number 16, Mischief Makers, Bomberman, Quest 64, Tetrisphere, and Gex, and then the bottom two at 21 and 22, Dark Rift and Turok.
This is tough. I have no idea where to put these two games.
Well, let's start with something easier then. Let's start with Super Smash Brothers. Where does that go?
Oh, right. We still have to, add
we got.
Do you have a list of things we need to add?
I did not send that to you because I did not have it at the time. Now I do. So we have 10 games that we need to add.
Oh, my God. God.
So, easy one. So, Super Smash Brothers, it's going to go near the top, yes?
Yeah. I would think so.
I would say... Huh?
Above Banjo-Kazooie?
Yeah, I would say that.
Does it go above Star Fox, though? Because I think we have our number one and number two solidified. They'll be there for a while.
Is Slippy a playable character?
No.
Oh, no. I think that pretty much tells you what's up.
But he's also not playable in Smash.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You wouldn't expect him to be. He's a pacifist.
So, what's your thoughts, Wes? Above or below Star Fox 64?
I'm going to say below.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, my first instinct, slot it between the 3 and the 4 there. It's better than Banjo, probably not as iconic or as good as Star Fox 64.
Hmm. Which, oddly enough, we still have Smash Brother games. Like, we don't have Star Fox games anymore.
Not with that attitude. Don't you smash my dreams. Ryan, how about Quake 2?
I like it a lot. Looking at this list, I already feel like you're giving me way too much leeway here by already having Doom 64 at 6 and Hexen at 10. It's just as good as those games, though. Honestly, I think there's probably a lot of Mario Kart enthusiasts that would be upset with me putting it that much higher.
Yeah, who cares? Which game do you like? Do you like it more than Hexen?
Yeah, no. Okay. Hexen's got looks better. It's more inventive in that it actually does embrace a fantasy element as opposed to your traditional, you know, first-person shooter stuff. And it's also very much like kind of grunt Space Marine stuff. So certainly, I mean, yeah, certainly not as good as... Yeah, okay, I would, if it were me, I would put it between Pilot Wings and Hexen.
I like that because once we get to Pilot Wings and 1080 Snowboarding and Wave Race, you're looking at things that are kind of like proof of concept rather than like fully fledged games. Like I like Wave Race, yeah. I like 1080 Snowboarding, I like Pilot Wings, but they're more like playground type things rather than like really tightly designed, curated experiences.
Yeah.
Quake 2. Going in right there, which I'm adjusting the numbering as we're going. So Quake 2 becomes our number 12 game.
Okay.
And if my computer will scroll with me real quick. Oh, Wes, Pokemon Snap. Let's go to that one.
Oh my gosh, that's number 3. I mean, that's just...
Now, are you being serious? You want to put it above Star Fox and Smash?
No. In the grand scope of games... No. For me, yes. But in the grand scope of games...
This is totally scientific, no. And your opinion is valid.
Better than Diddy Kong Racing. I think we can all agree on that.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely Mario Kart.
Yeah,
definitely Blast Force.
Maybe, like, would it be better than GoldenEye, though? I can't see this eclipsing GoldenEye.
I mean, yeah, I enjoy
hurting you, Wes.
I mean, this is my game, man. This is my thing. I mean, Pokemon Snap on Switch is a day one purchase for me, and I'm not done playing.
Until there's a World of Warcraft update.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna be a World of Warcraft Snap edition that comes out on the same day.
I don't know. I don't know about Pokemon Snap above GoldenEye.
All right, pull below GoldenEye. Okay. That's fine.
I kind of like it at what is currently the 5-6 spot. Between the 5 and the 6.
So wait, above?
Before, yeah, I mean, you're adding stuff to your list as you go, John, but yeah, like between GoldenEye and Doom.
Okay, perfect. Good, that's where I got it. That puts it at number 7.
Okay.
Man, I just love me some Pokemon Snap. But wait, no, you put it at level number 7.
With all the stuff we've added in, it now sits at number 7.
He adjusts his list as he goes.
Oh, okay. So it's above Doom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mario Party. I think Mario Party, I think we're looking at somewhere in the 1080 Snowboarding Wave Race and Pilot Wings range. What do you guys think?
I think with a lot of these franchises, it's difficult because I can't necessarily say I know the N60. Oh, yeah, just like, I can't say I know the original N64 Mario Party all that well, but I know I've played many Mario Parties over the year, and they have kind of a consistent pedigree, but, you know, you really can't give it to something on Legacy. You kind of have to judge each installment.
Yeah, so. And we do have a second one coming up, so I hesitate to put this one too high up, just because of... you would hope that they start improving things as the franchise goes on. What do you guys think of doing, like, right in between Killer Instinct and Yoshi's Story?
That's fine.
Okay, because Yoshi.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think you're gonna get too much fighting going on from like the bottom 10 or so.
Because I liked Yoshi's Story just fine, but the game, you know, doesn't. The platforming is kind of plotting, and the way that you unlock more levels is a bit opaque. So not a really great platformer. Let's go to Star Wars Squadron. That'll be a good one to get in next. Now that one, it's very similar to a Star Fox. I don't think it's as successful as a Star Fox. As a space kind of shoot 'em up like that. I kind of want to put it... it's going to be above Pilot Wings, that's for sure.
Probably above Diddy Kong Racing? Or are we that big on Diddy Kong Racing?
I am not that big on it. Yeah, I think it goes...
But would I see it as Mario Kart and Diddy Kong. I mean, that seems like a pretty good spot for it. I'm not going to argue it's better than a Mario Kart game, but, you know, it's good. I mean, I think this is a game that I played not on N64, but I played it on PC. I remember this being a competent, well-made game. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for it, right under Mario Kart. So just out of the top 10 with the new numbering. But you know, we've done a lot of kind of like side-eyeing toward Diddy Kong Racing, and that game was fine when I was playing it. Do we want to move Hexen above it?
Not necessarily. Again, if anything, we want to maybe have a. It would be nice because we'd have a little spacing. I feel like we're putting our racing games together and putting our essentially first-person games together. But I don't think it's necessary. Nah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. How again, we can always. Do some
Hexen is a very good game, though. Like, no denying it. Hexen is a good game.
Okay. Next up, this one is one that I played back to the beginning of the year. Castlevania 64. I think Castlevania 64 did an admirable job of making a 3D action game, sort of like something that like God of War would turn into way back on the N64. So I am going to put it just below Quake 2 and above Pilot Wings. Kind of for the same reasons that we were talking about putting Quake 2 above Pilot Wings. Because, you know, I got a decent amount through it. I didn't end up beating Castlevania 64, but I got a decent amount through it. And, you know, there were some problems as it got into, like, more confined environments. But they tried their damnedest to bring Castlevania into 3D, and they hit a couple of really good notes in terms of having some competent platforming and combat for such an early game. Knife Edge Nose Gunner is also one that I played early in the year.
I feel like I've never even heard of that game. What
did we even talk about that?
We did talk about it really briefly because there's not much to it. I mean, it's kind of like Star Fox and Star Wars. Not really, doesn't have the pedigree of those, but it's a competent like on rail shooter. It's fine. That's one.
Okay, well, I'll trust your judgment on that one then. Like, I don't know where you think that one goes.
I'm going to put it below Yoshi's Story, but above Mischief Makers. No, I'm going to put it below Mischief Makers. Because that one, you get a little bit more out of it. You get some more bang for your buck, just in terms of like how much gain there is to play. Knife Edge, you can finish in a couple hours. Wes, what do you think about Mario Golf?
I mean, it's a pretty competent golf game. I went back and watched a video of it. There is some precision you have to get into it, some wind you have to adjust accordingly to and everything. So there is quite a bit going on with that game for an early golf game. It's kind of a proof of concept game as well, like Pilot Wings and the snowboardings and stuff. So I would probably put them above that.
Above Pilot Wings, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a good game from what I saw.
It's just a fun little golf game, and I just remembered now as well when I was watching the video for it. In order to unlock other golfers, you had to play them and challenge them, and so that was always a fun thing, like trying to unlock more golfers and stuff like that. I remember trying to get the whole roster and everything. But
so, these are kind of like our fallbacks, like what we go to when we're comparing things. You think above Pilot Wings? What about above Diddy Kong? Does it go above Diddy Kong Racing?
I would say so.
Does it go above Mario Kart?
Probably not.
So somewhere between below Star Wars or above Star Wars then?
I don't know. I'm going to have to let you guys judge on that one because I don't really know that game at all. I watched one little video on it.
Let's put it, if it's that close, if it's that neck and neck, let's put it above it just because it's a first party thing. Let's put it, say that it's better than Star Wars.
Oh, it gets the Nintendo bias. I like it.
Yeah.
The new Tetris, I'm definitely putting it above Tetrisphere, which is way down at the bottom. It's going above Quest 64. But I think that's as high as it's going to go, because
it's just Tetris.
Yeah. And Tetris is a really good game, but it's hardly novel.
Man, this is saying a lot about how bad Turok is if it can't beat Tetris. I mean, this... Oh my gosh. I hope that guy in our Discord that just defended the crap out of Turok is listening right now.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a heated, impassioned defense. It was just like, I like Turok. It's okay to like Turok. It doesn't make you a bad
person. I feel like it should have been a heated, passion thing. I think he should have like stuck to his guns there and really.
Oh no, he did. He does still like Turok. We didn't convince him otherwise.
I mean, we all make mistakes, but he needs to really.
All right, and then the last one I got to put in there is Command and Conquer.
I have no idea where to put it.
But now I'm gonna hold off. I'm not gonna insert that one just yet.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Because I did get the cartridge for it. I now possess the cartridge. I just haven't plugged it in yet to see how an RTS plays on that system.
Oh, they got all the extra buttons.
Yeah, you got all those buttons that you can work with. So
look at all these pieces left over.
So why are we walking like this?
bring this quick stop to me.
So I'm gonna go through the list one more time because we now have 31 games on the list. Yeah, Ocarina of Time, Mario 64, Star Fox, Smash Brothers, and Banjo Kazooie are the top five. Rounding out the top 10, we got GoldenEye, Pokemon Snap, Doom 64, Blast Corps, and Mario Kart 64. Blast Corps is hanging tough. Look at them.
Yeah, it's a great game. Let's not forget that. That was a really solid game.
11 through 20, we got Mario Golf, Star Wars, Rogue Squadron, Diddy Kong Racing, Hexen, Quake 2, Castlevania 64, Pilot Wings 64, 1080 Snowboarding, Wave Race, and Killer Instinct. And then 21 to 31, Mario Party, Yoshi's Story, Mischief Makers, Knife Edge, Bomberman 64, the new Tetris, Quest 64, and this is when you start getting to the broken stuff, Tetrasphere, Gex 64, Dark Rift, and Turok. So that is our super scientific list of N64 games. And we're well into the back half of the N64 library. There's still a bunch of high-profile stuff that's going to, you know, continue to come out in 99 and into 2000 and 2001. Because, you know, there's still a handful of games coming in 2001, even though that's when the GameCube launches. But we still got, like Resident Evil 2 is still coming. There's a Donkey Kong game. So there's a couple of things from Rare still coming, including Donkey Kong 64 and Conker's Bad Fur Day and Jet Force Gemini. There's still some first-party stuff coming with Ocarina of Time. Not Ocarina of Time. Majora's Mask is the big one. But I can't really think of anything first-party that we're still missing from here. And of course, we'll get, like, Mario Party 2. And I think there's going to be a Mario Tennis, possibly. But yeah, well, what do you guys think of this N64 library so far?
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think so. It's really cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's all right.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really...
I mean, really, your N64 was just an Ocarina Time Machine, so I don't...
That's the thing. It's like, when it's all said and done, the top 10 are going to be really, really good games, and then, you know, we'll have also some other good games rounding out the list. But in terms of, like, the breadth of software and the different types of games that we're going to have on the list, I don't think there's really any argument that, like, the Super Nintendo, like, has one of the all-time great lineups. And I would even make like the argument that the first party lineup that you get out of the GameCube after this is going to be a better software library as well. But I don't know. I guess that's a debate for a different time. Anything else we need to address here? Are we done?
We're 2 hours in.
Are we really
recording? It's going to be edited down, obviously, but we're like 2 hours.
It's going to be
right
edited
now.
Up because I am playing that LL Cool J song over and over again.
Hell yes, you are. The track is huge, man. It's going to be so fucking good.
I didn't mean it to be 6 hours, but we kind of got to do a few things.
What's the guy's name? Herbie
Hancock.
Herbie Hancock.
It's Herbie Hancock.
That's our podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Next up is going to be the official show. Not a ton of news to get to, but there are a couple of game announcements that I think are going to be worth mentioning. There's also a bunch of new releases that I've been playing that I think are going to be really fun to talk about. Paper Mario is out, and I'm about 30% of the way through that one. That's been a good time so far. Carrion, that game where you play as the virus, which is timely, is coming out tomorrow at time of recording. Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon 2, I've been playing through that one, as well as Cross Coast. There's a bunch of new releases that I want to get into. And then we'll talk about games coming out in August.
All right.
Yeah. There's not much. We don't know much about August right now. Or the rest of 2020, for that matter. It's a big mystery.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Later.
see this guy? This guy's a little creepy.